Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in on this Wednesday. Nick Sirianni coming up in just a few minutes here for his weekly press conference. Excited to hear what Nick has to say. And I'm expecting more questions about interception by Jalen Late, the decision-making on the fourth down, on the third down. And, you know, one thing that really went under the radar was the Jalen Carter not being on the field to start the game. It was asked by the camera this morning. Nobody asked that question after the game. I'm surprised. I know they had a collapse, and then that became the big story there, the decision-making. But Carter was on the field to start the game. We shall see if Sirianni elaborates more on that coming up. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Terrence.
Hey, Joe, Kyle, what's up?
What's
Terrence,
going on, man?
What's up, buddy?
Y'all hear me? Y'all can hear me good?
Oh, we got you.
All right, man. First of all, I heard this earlier. A lot of this is on Howie Roseman. It's on Howie because the last 2 years, I feel like he has failed the wide receiver room, specifically the number three slot receiver. Like, for Brandon Covey to be getting that number of plays, like, is really asinine to me because, man, I get so scared when this guy touches the ball. It's like a matter of time before somebody creams this kid and he's, like, on IR. But not only that, I told Kyle I lowered my expectations for this year. I lowered them because with A.J. Brown out, we don't know how long this injury is going to be nagging. We don't know where we're going to get production from. Because we saw last week, we struggled to score with Saquon Barkley and Devontae Smith. We still struggled to score those 22 points that we did score. We have uncertainty at the wide receiver spot. We have uncertainty also at the defensive line. We cannot go the whole year without getting any pass rush, especially when we play these veteran quarterbacks. They're going to pick us apart. We saw what Kirk Cousins did. This guy was pretty much a statue, and he was picking us apart that last drive. What was it, 25 seconds he drove down the field?
Mm-hmm.
That is ridiculous. And I do agree, like, Howie has to get some blame, but also I lower my expectations because we don't know what Sirianni, man, hit the decision-making down the stretch. I feel like that last play call, everybody said he could have ran, he could have passed the ball, but he should have took the first freaking down. He declined it. I feel like he outsmarted himself. If he takes the first down, we got a new set of downs. He declined it, so that gives us fourth down. He go for it again, and he drops. Saquon drops the ball. So I feel like there was only 1:32 left on the clock. Bro, take the first down. He declined it for what?
Yeah, that one was interesting because the Falcons wanted him to. They wanted to accept the penalty. Yeah, that
they Terrence baited him into it.
Yeah, that one actually, Terrence, we appreciate. I was okay with that around because that was around the 2 minute warning, and it did give them the fresh set of downs.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want the fresh set of downs. He wanted to get the first down and then another set of downs. I was actually okay with that. That didn't bother me. It's just the fact that it just doesn't feel like it's all aligned. You're going to be super aggressive guy. First quarter, you go for the touchdown or the first down. Fourth quarter, you're throwing the football on third and three. That's fine. Then be super aggressive guy. We have coaches like that. Dan Campbell does it. Like that, I'm okay with that. Doug Peterson has done that in a large part in his career. He did it here when they won the Super Bowl. But if you're going to be super aggressive, then you got to go for the fourth down. You the one thing you can't do there, Hugh, is not take any time off the clock and just kick the field goal. Like the Falcons, their coaching staff had to be snickering to themselves. Like, wait a second, we held them to the field goal and they gave us all this time.
Yeah, I look at it like this, Joe. I know that's a lot, but I like it simple. My defense is not that great. They're probably not going to be that great for a while. I need to score as many points as I possibly can to help them out. I said as the season started, you thought I was crazy. 30 points a game has to be the norm. And however I get there, that's how the game's going to go. If I got to feed Saquon Barkley so much so that, you know, you're worried about his personal health, then guess what? He probably's not going to practice that much during the week. But
right, let's go to Nick Sirianni, his press conference right now.
First round picks, Nolan, Jalen, and Jordan, kind of tied together because of where they're from, first round picks. Where do you see them right now as far as acclimating to fixed defense and kind of just where they are?
Yeah, I think all three guys have showed moments of being of having a lot of good plays, and all of them have had bumps too. But that's every player, right? That's not just limited to those guys. Like, you know, we're 1-1 at this particular point, so there's going to be good plays, there's going to be bad plays, but a lot of confidence in those guys and their abilities. Why we drafted them in the first place and what they can add to our defense. But we got to be better as a whole, better coaching, better playing on offense, better playing on defense.
Nick, I know Kellen's obviously calling the plays, but late in the fourth quarter when there's so much game strategy involved, what are the conversations like between the two of you? How does that communication work?
Yeah, just like it would early in the game too, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, you're discussing when you're going for it on fourth down, what third down needs to look like in attempts to go for fourth down. Sometimes, you know, third down's played a little differently. Sometimes it's not. And so all those discussions are happening. They're happening, like I said, in the first quarter. They're happening in the fourth quarter. If Kellen and I are just having that conversation right then we've done a shitty job getting ready all week. That conversation happens throughout. That conversation happened today, right, of what we would be thinking in those scenarios. And it's just, hey, remember we said in this scenario, boom, right? So that's something that we've been – that we prep for all week. And then it's just little reminders within that. And because you're right, calling the game is one thing, managing the game's another thing, but they have aspects of meshing together.
Nick, to follow up on that,
when you say what third down might look like, on the second to last possession specifically, the third and three, the pass, are you mm-hmm. talking about this is a run or a pass? How many yards we need to get in order to be willing to go for it on fourth down?
Yeah, all those things, you know, that you talk through in that scenario. And past experiences too, like that we talked about, like, you know, last week against Green Bay, we passed the ball in 4-minute football, you know, a couple times to really seal that game and give it the ball back to them late. You know, it was the same scenario here. Those conversations happened last week leading into the game. What are we going to do in this scenario here? What are we going to do in this scenario there? When are we willing to pass it? When we pass it, what are we thinking? And be ready and be willing to pass it, because, you know, we've won a game that way, and then we also have lost some games where we just were too conservative and went run in those scenarios.
That some people think it's better to be up 3 than to be up 6 when you kick the field goal.
Yeah, I don't believe that. You know, if you look at the history of that call, so, you know, initially you go through it and you. I mean, I'm going to try to drag myself through the mud as much as I possibly can, because quite frankly, that's the only way you get better, is to really look at your decisions, look at every decision you make and say, hey, did I make this decision? Did I make the right decision? And sometimes the play fails for whatever reason, but you got to still look at each decision. So, you know, in that scenario, we've put ourselves in that before. And it was a little similar to the week before where we kicked the field goal. Now there was less time left on the clock, but we were 4th and 3 at the 3, which is arguably probably a little bit more, in my mind, you could go for that a little bit more in the Green Bay game than you do here. But, you know, as I look through, so I kind of, what I did is kind of look through the entire league. I said to our analytics department, could you give me every 4th down decision from the when teams are in range in 4-minute offense? So, you know, because if you're up 6, you're kicking it every single time, right? Because that's going to put you up 2 scores. But so I asked for every time it was 1 point to 5 points, the team was up under 4 minutes with the, you know, and every 4th down from the 34 and in. And there were, you know, there were 4th and 1s that were going for. I think there were 12 4th and 1s. There was 4th and 3 that Houston went against Dallas for in 2022, and then there was a 4th and 2 that the Jets went for against Tampa, but that was it, and the rest were field goals. And I've put myself in that situation prior to the call, so I felt like in the moment, my conviction in the moment was I knew exactly what I want. Again, is the outcome always what you want? No, but your conviction in the call, I was completely convicted that kicking the field goal there was the right decision based off of all my studies. Now, I come back and I reevaluate it, right? And I'm even more convicted, to be quite honest with you, because of just everything that goes into that. I think there's something else that is very noticeable. Like, as an offensive coach, you'd much be rather, like, there's a stress being having to have to score a touchdown when you're, you know, giving the ball back to a team. There's a stress in that. And I get it. They get an extra down to do so. I understand all that. But there's a different stress being down six as opposed to three. So that's also my experience as an offensive coach. And you know what? Our defense had done a really, like, where we were getting hurt was on in the run game, not necessarily them dropping back and passing. You know, obviously that wasn't, we didn't do a good enough job on that drive. But to that point, we had only given up 15 points, and we were really salty in the red zone up to that point.
Take that information and apply it to your own team, because obviously your offense and the 22 Texans offense are different in that situation. How do you process that?
Yeah, that. So analytics is a piece. League study is a piece. This game always comes down to players and plays, right? What plays do you have the most confidence in to your players in those particular cases, right? And so that's where your confidence is coming from to go for things on that. We've been pretty darn aggressive, and I think we've probably went for it. We've went for it more in our plus territory than anybody else in the NFL. Why? Because Jordan Mailata. All right, he's sitting in here, so I say him first, because Lane Johnson, because Landon Dickerson, because Jalen Hurts, because of A.J. Brown, because of Devontae Smith, because of Dallas Goedert, because of Saquon Barkley, but I could go, you know, because of Cam Jurgens, because of Mekhi. And so, like, those are your reasons why you go for it in those scenarios. Now, again, a four-minute scenario is a different scenario with time, the timeouts, all those different things. So those are treated different. Because no decision that a coach makes is made just on a piece of paper that says the chart says to go for it here. It's not that easy, and it's not that black and white. There's so many things that factor into it. Again, past experiences, right? So let's just talk I'm in fourth down generally speaking right now. Past experiences, plays, players, and then plays. And so I think about, you know, we've had two wins against Dallas here in 22 and in 23 at home, right? Those both had fourth and three conversions on our plus side of the field. When you convert it, nobody really thinks that, oh, they converted that and they got 7 points out of this, not three. When you fail, that onus is going to be on me, and I perfectly understand. I completely understand that and completely accept it, but you know, Dallas, we get the, you know, the NFC championship game against the Niners. We go for it on fourth and three, and we get a scenario there. So again, analytics is a piece of the puzzle. There's all those other things that go along with it. What's the chart say in that particular case? My chart, what I say to do is to kick it. Again, the chart is one thing. You guys can punch in a number there's about 20 websites, right? That you can punch in a number and say, what did it say here? So you all can see that, but I base it off of what my studies have been and my conviction on my studies.
What was the analytics suggestion for the third down, whether to run or pass?
They don't give suggestions on run pass and those. So theirs was more off of should you go for it on fourth down and third down, and not what you should do run pass there. But like I said, the game before. And, you know, we lost some games last year in 4 minute where we didn't feel like we were aggressive enough. I kind of addressed this last week. But we held the ball for quite a long time. Our offensive line did a good job of blocking. Saquon did a good job of running. We won a game last week being aggressive in 4 minute. If you look at the play too, the play prior to our fourth down call, our third down call, you can see that they're bringing junk inside, right? And there's a, and on that play, like, Landon had to take two on one of them, right? And he made this miraculous play that could have been called holding on, right? Because there's guys in every gap, and some of them, they're bringing an extra guy in there. And if you look at it, Landon kind of had to hook the guy so Saquon could make a great run. It wasn't like it was a real clean look. And so we knew they were jamming it up inside, and so we tried to push it to the outside. Sometimes you push it to the outside with the play we ran, and sometimes you don't. You do it with another play, but that's why we did what we did there. Again, conviction in it at the time, conviction in it still at this time.
What's wrong with the run defense?
You know, I think what it always starts with us putting the players in position to make plays, right? But after that, everything when you talk about run defense and when you talk about playing defense is going to start with, do you get off blocks, right? Can you play on their side of the line of scrimmage and get off blocks, and can you make the tackles when you get there? So, you know, regardless of what the call is, do we have to put them in different positions and try different things? Yeah, and the defense was trying to do that. But regardless of what the call is, it's going to be how we put our hands on people, how we knock them back, how we shed that block, whether it's a cut block or whether it's an up high block, and how we tackle after that. And so we have to build on those fundamentals, and, you know, to be, and I don't want that to sound like the coaches, we have to do that as coaches. We have to put them in positions as far as how to strike blocks. So there's two aspects of this, right? It's us as coaches putting them in position to make plays, but that's us also teaching them how to put their hands on blocks. And we're going to make sure that we do our part as coaches, and the players got to do their part of executing it. And when that time comes,
Dallas Goedert is getting enough targets, especially after Friday without AJ Brown, and we don't know what the situation is with him going forward. But do you think he's as involved as he needs to be at this point?
You know, obviously, this is, you're such in a small sample size right now. We love to get Dallas the ball. You know, Dallas has gotten the ball a lot. But different teams play things different ways, whether they junk up the middle, whether they give you the things on the outside. So, would we like Dallas to have the ball more? Absolutely. Of course we would. But it's not, again, sometimes it's not that simple either, right? Because the quarterback goes – we can't tell the quarterback just throw it to this guy, right? He's got to read the defense. That's why playing quarterback is the hardest position in the NFL, right? Or in sports, in my opinion. They have to read the defense, right, to see where the hit's coming or where the pressure's coming, where the coverage is, all those different things, and deliver the ball where it's supposed to go. And so it's not always that simple. Now we can put Dallas at the number one spot where we think it might go, but that doesn't also necessarily mean that. So do we need to get Dallas the ball more? Yeah. Is that a conscious effort? Yeah. But sometimes it's not that simple.
You mentioned the plays, players aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. So when players, then plays.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have Saquon, a high-level player like that, you told us in the past, you yell at your coaches if they say, catch the ball. He's trying to catch the ball. So.
Sure.
And he knows he should have caught the ball. So how do you handle that in the moment when you're trying to make corrections or just?
Yeah, that's as far as, when we get in here, we're not going to say catch the ball. We're going to talk about hand placement, stuff like that. And that's for a couple of different things that happened as far as some catches, not just Saquon. So as far as in the moment, are you saying?
Yeah, the moment, you have a high all-pro level player who understands, he knows what he has to do.
At that point, it's about, hey, moving on from that, and if you get another opportunity to make a play, we got to do it. And I think that's the in the moment, and you give the quick coaching point and then really use of what you think should happen, and then you kind of reemphasize that when you get to the film room.
What changes most when you don't have AJ on the offense, and how difficult was it that it happened at the end of last week?
Yeah, you know, that's not like when you're in this league long enough and you experience these things where it's like, oh shoot, whether they get hurt later in the week of practice that limits them, or they get hurt in the game prior to, and it's like he might go. So you like this is all part of what you end up doing. So it's not new to us to put two game plans together. And I don't want you to think it's like this game plan. There's similarities. It's just some different things. But, you know, we've been used to doing that, right? Because this is a game of that people, you know, have bumps and bruises throughout the way. And so you like, this is just common practice for us. This is part of our weekly process. What are we going to do, Bo? As far as, and hopefully I answered your question in that part, but you had a second part of that question.
Just what changes most for you guys? For example, you ran 26 plays or 28 plays, I think, of those last two drives. I think like 16 of them were 4 yards or less. Do you lose that explosiveness and how?
Well, you know, AJ is a phenomenal player, so of course you lose some of the big play ability that he brings. But you try to move guys around, whether you're running a different play or whether you're running a different person in the play that AJ would have ran. You know, those are all different things. So, but yeah, anytime you lose a player like AJ Brown, it's going to affect you. But again, I thought the efficiency of the offense now again wasn't as good what we needed to be in the red zone. But the guys that had to step up and make plays in absence of AJ did a good job.
What concerns you most about the Saints offense, especially in light of, you know, the difficulties you guys have been having?
Yeah, I think first they have an explosive running back with Kamara. They got speed at wide receiver. Derek Carr has seen and played a lot of football. And then when he's on, he's on. And I got a lot of, being in that Charger division when he was early on, I got a lot of respect for Derek Carr because I think he can play really good football. And obviously he is playing very good football at this particular point, but they run the ball well. They're explosive with the pass game, and you know, they're going to be a big-time challenge in a hostile environment.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Go ahead. I know you spend Monday to Saturday preparing for these game management decisions, but in real time, who's in the booth providing you with the data?
Yeah, I have a couple guys that I rely on that we go through a lot of different things with. You know, Kevin Petullo is a big help for me because he sits in a lot of them. Kellen's, you know, my job also is to prepare guys to be head coaches as well. So like just like Shane used to sit in with some of these meetings with me because he was calling the plays, and Brian, Kellen does the same thing. Gannon used to sit in those with me. And so you kind of go through it that way. So Kellen, Kevin, I got some eyes upstairs that are really helpful that help me think through some things as well. And again, like my game management sheet, you have that memorized, right? It's something that you work on. You make the game management sheet. You compile it from all these different things. There's so many different pictures in your head as far as, oh, this happened in that game in 2010 or whatever it is, right? And so you have it memorized, but you also bounce it off of some guys. But some of them, sometimes the reason I have to have it memorized is because sometimes, not every time, it's It happens fast. And that's our job as coaches. So that's why it's so important that we put ourselves, you know, I read Bill Walsh's book, and he talks about this whole aspect of, and it was a great read this summer, and I've showed it to our coaches. He talks about the whole aspect of you have to put yourself in the position when he talks about scripting plays. He talks about scripting them in the beginning, but then he goes into he wasn't ready in a game against he was with the Bengals and they were playing the Raiders or something like that, and he wasn't ready for a call. But then he put himself in all those scenarios, so he was ready for each and individual call, because you do have to make it like that. There's not time to be like, you know, there's no pause button. There's no, what was that show? There's no Zach Morris, where you remember Zach Morris used to pause it and it would go, and then he'd be able to think. Yeah, there's nothing like that that you can do. And so that's why you have to have it memorized. And that's why you have to put the work in, quite frankly, to do that. Again, is every decision I make going to be successful? No, but every decision I make has been thought out. Is every decision I make going to be glorified? No, not even a little bit, right? Because I know the other end of it. Like, you know, you're going to fail on something. You're not going to be perfect on fourth down decisions as far as converting them. And, you know, but that is my job as the head coach. And that's just something that, you know, comes with that. It's the price of doing business. It's the business that we chose, however you want to say it. And so, you know, I'll gladly take the criticisms because I know they're coming.
Last one.
After two straight games where the run defense was an issue, at what point do you find yourself focusing more on that, where in the past you might have been more focused offensively?
You know, obviously I trust those guys to do their job, and I'm still going to focus my attention that way and, you know, towards the offense and also game management. But, you know, we talk through everything. You know, at the end of the day, offense, defense, special teams, I'm the head coach, so I'm responsible for all of it. So if the run game doesn't look the way it's supposed to look like on defense, then I'm first and foremost responsible. So, but it's just going through our process like we normally do. So I'll have the same process with the defense as normal. We'll talk through things. And I know this, that I would trust the heck out of our defensive staff. Their track record is pretty darn good. And I trust our players.
All right. Thanks, folks.
All right, there he was, Nick Sirianni, his weekly press conference there. There's a lot.
Long talking.
Long talking. All right. 215-592-9494. For Hop in and React. Your phone calls on the Eagles we've been discussing all day with your expectations. Really, have you readjusted the way you think about this team? But Hugh, let's react a little bit to what we just heard from Sirianni there. So a lot on the fourth down decision making, the third down run in the fourth quarter at 1:46 to go. Here's my issue today with Sirianni. I have an issue every day with that coach. I don't want him to tell me about the Texans in 2021 or an example he found in his research. We got the game in front of us. Like, so the game on Monday night, A.J. Brown wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. That impacts what I'm doing in the first quarter on a fourth down.
Yes.
In the fourth quarter, as the clock could be your friend, they have a quarterback who's 36 years old coming off an Achilles injury, and he can't move very well. So every second to them matters. I don't care what the Texans did in 2021.
Yeah, I felt like he gave me a lot of things that I didn't care about. I'm simple when it comes to stuff like that. Okay, what happened Monday night? I know analytics plays a big part in the NFL. Now, I'm not a dummy. But when you start invoking ghost of the past and talking about what other teams did and telling me the strategy and all, I hear you, but most people that are listening to this radio station and that are listening to you, they don't care about all of that. That's your job and your department's job to give that information to you because you're the head coach. Tell me as a fan, talk to me like I'm a 2-year-old and tell me why you did the things that you did in those certain situations. I don't care what the Texans did. Why did you do what you did Monday night at whatever time the play was going down?
I keep going back to this. At 215-592-9494, have an identity. If you want to be, and he did more of this a couple years ago. You want to be super aggressive? First quarter, they went for a 4th-and-4, right? They didn't kick a field goal. Then in the fourth quarter, when you know your defense is struggling, don't give the ball back. Go for the fourth down. It's like it has to add up. I don't know what Nick Sirianni's identity is as the head coach of the team. I don't know. I don't know what the Eagles' identity is. Are they a smash mouth run team? Are they super aggressive all the time? Or are they just let me look at the chart. Let me do that. You got to have an identity. I don't think they have one right now.
See, that's the thing for me. If I'm the head coach of the team, I'm going to keep it simple. Hey, my defense ain't that good right now. I'm not going to put them in a situation where I need them to save me.
And you could even spin it so it sounds better. I trust my offense.
Yeah.
The truth is the defense.
I'm not about to put them cats out there. I said that at the beginning of the season. They're not ready. They're not ready. You got lucky in Brazil that they stepped up and bowled their neck when they did. You put them out there like they the 85 Bears other night. You did. You put them out there like they was just bringing heat all night long.
With extra time for Cousins.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, you like that's not awareness to me. And I understand nobody has a problem with the call. That's cool. But I'd be damned if I give Kirk Cousins a minute and 40 seconds. I don't care. Like, I wouldn't give Tom Brady that much time. Because we, at least with Tom Brady, we know if we gave him that much time, we know what's going to happen.
He's going to score.
We know that. You gave Kirk Cousins, and it, like, listening to the broadcast that night, and it played out just like Troy Aikman said. Said, this is why you give him all that money. And boy, did he march down the field and had a day. Like, he went to Magic City after the game and got him some lemon pepper wings. And he was in there just chilling at Magic City after the game.
He wears chains.
Yeah, he went there because his teammates told him about the lemon pepper wings, and he wanted to bond with his teammates. So he went to Magic City that night and got him some lemon pepper wings.
215-592-9494. This segment brought to you by Matt Blatt Mitsubishi. Give Matt Blatt an at bat. Let's talk to Jake in Delco. Hey, Jake.
Hey guys, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's up, Jake?
Oh, nothing much, man. That was torture.
Make the decision. Make the decision. Make the decision.
Kyle already cut that thing up.
Go ahead, Jake.
I'll just go away and listen to something else because I can't. It's like waterboarding listening to him with that long talk. But since I was on hold, I had to listen to the whole thing.
I don't give a shit.
I'm not okay. I know you
That's
don't,
all
Nick.
You say.
Jake,
how are
I'm
you?
Not okay.
I'm not okay either.
My head hurts. I'm not okay.
I will say, if you ever noticed before, he says the word obviously so much. I mean, obviously, obviously, he keeps saying it over and over again. This time, his obviously meter was actually down a little bit. I'm not really sure why, but if you play a drinking game, drink every time he says obviously, you will be down under the table within the first 5 minutes.
You'll be, what they say, down bad. You'll be down bad.
Yeah. For me, you know, I guess it's been said at this point, in that first quarter, when Saquon was getting 9 yards every time he touched the ball, they tried to get cute because I guess Coach Goober's thinking, oh, they're gonna catch on to this and they're gonna start keying on Saquon. So let me switch it up. No, you do it until they stop you.
No, well, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree
Jake,
with that.
You do, and they didn't stop it, and they let him off the hook. And Jake, we appreciate you. I thought he even referenced, and we'll talk about more on the other side. He said it this morning to Joe and John. He said it this afternoon. I think that he let the Falcons dictate the game. I forget who made the comparison yesterday to the Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
When Belichick stuffed the line.
That would be me.
When Belichick stuffed the line, right? What did he do? He baited them into throwing the ball. The Falcons baited the Eagles into throwing.
Yeah, because that's what I said. You want Jalen to beat you. You know what? The one thing that I remember when Coach Mangini, Eric Mangini, when he was at ESPN and we were there, and I asked him one time, what made the Patriots so good? He said, because we ran the same plays. And we ran them till you stopped them. And he said, when you stopped it, we would go run another play, and then we would come back to that play. Like, they did the same thing over and over again. Like, when you have an offense, I think some of the better teams are the ones that run plays consistently, and they run them, like, with precision. Like, you know, it's like old hat. Like, you know, we had defenses that we ran. Like, say if Jim didn't make a call, it was on the linebacker or the safety to put us in a defense that made us, you know, comfortable.
Yeah.
Because you knew it. You knew it like the back of your hand.
Well, they got to get there. They're not there now. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.